Afternoon, Reel 3. Helen, before I ask you about your time in Auschwitz, and obviously we would like as many details as you can remember, could I ask you a little more about the ghetto? When this was formed, would it have been a closed ghetto?
No, we didn't have a wall like in Warsaw, did we? As I said, every morning I used to go to work. My husband used to go to work. But we still had a social life. Evenings were ours. All right, till 7 o'clock. But I was very lucky. Every time, wherever I lived, there were nice people. So in the evenings we were together. We played cards. We listened to the radio. And, I'm sorry we didn't have a radio anymore. Not Kanyanka, no. But we, as I said, we had a social life. With people that lived in your house in the evening. And well, I was a new married. We were a new married couple. We were very happy with each other. And yes, that I should have mentioned, that, you know, you could have got papers, Paraguayan or Uruguayan papers. My father, we paid for our papers beforehand. Where did the money go? I don't know. My father got it because Mizrahi did it for him, the Zionist organization in America or somewhere. But we haven't had any. We didn't get any visas. We didn't live already in America. One day, a friend of mine, my school friend, Tusha, and her husband, also a newly married couple, were told that they're going, that their papers arrived, and they're going. There was a full bus. There must have been, the bus had been not as big as they are now, okay, 30 people that brought their passports, Uruguayan or Paraguayan. Remind me that my niece was saved by the passport, but that car from Kamionka went straight to Auschwitz and straight to the Abyss. Because then they knew about that there are false papers. But I would say, I don't know, maybe you can't remember, Lina, when did she go? I could phone her. Did she go home? No, it doesn't matter. Anyway, my uncle, my aunt, and their son got papers for money through Switzerland. My sister-in-law, her husband, her son, and her daughter got papers through Switzerland, and they were saved. They were taken to an interneringscamp. There were even English nuns there to help them. There were even interneringscamps. That was in Germany, but they were, nobody could touch them because they were foreigners. They were Paraguayan citizens or Uruguayan citizens, and they survived. Quite a lot of my friends survived. The next transport was the one that I just told you from Kamionka. They knew already the Germans, and they took them straight to Auschwitz. And there was no selection. Who knows what the selection was? Young ones keep, old ones stay. No selection, they all went straight to that. So that was in the ghetto.
How did you manage
to... did we know? I am just sitting now. When did we know that they went straight to Auschwitz? I can't remember. But they went straight to the others. And my husband said, so you see, so good that we didn't get other papers.
How are you managing for food in the ghetto?
You got bread, well, not much, but bread. For me, bread is the most important thing, and still is. Bread is solid. You know, if I drop bread on the floor, and I pick it up. I kiss it. It's like a religious tool. If your doctor says a prayer book, yeah, you kiss it. But with me, it's just normal. I have to kiss it. But I dropped it. I would cross the road, even Finchley Road, if I see on the other pavement bread. Some people, I don't know, not the whole bread, but a piece of bread. I would cross the road, pick it up, put it on the fence. The birds can have it, but not so that people can walk over bread. Bread is holy. Right, so we had our rations. We had our rations. You didn't stop. You did not start. You could live from those rations. And what else do you want to know?
The sort of hiding aspect. When the deportation started, There were, as you explained, deportations before yours. Yeah. Is that when you started to find hiding places?
Yeah, but where my father and mother lived, there was a cellar. And as far as I remember, there was no door to the cellar, because otherwise they wouldn't pull me out through that little window next to the pavement. So a lot of people had hiding places, but it didn't happen. So it was always a childhood. My brother-in-law, my husband's brother, was also being there, and he had a baby, a few months old baby. And they were hiding somewhere as well, and the baby started crying. So they took him, they took her, and the baby. So the hiding places were not, just in a baby still. There were no babies later. Mm-hmm.
Well, when do you think you became aware that the people who were being moved were being exterminated? You know, you were saying...
Not exterminated. No, because some people went to their Arbeitslager. They worked. And, well, I wouldn't say most of them, but more than from Auschwitz, came out alive. They worked very hard. They were very hungry. But they were Arbeitslager. And we saw that Auschwitz is also only an Arbeitslager. We didn't know that they burned. They were like, but nobody believed in it. Nobody believed in it. Why would my father, he was get crazy to find a bed for my mother so that she would look nice. And then I remember he told me as well, I should do my hair properly because it was still like that. I look like a Vietnam. I was raised by English. The one that rides on a broom.
A witch.
That's right. I look like a witch.
Well, I can't imagine you looking like
a witch. Oh,
yes. So you really had no idea of the gassings before you went?
No. I had no idea. Not about the gassings. All right. To work, but not gassings. And we were just a few kilometers from Auschwitz. How many kilometers? The traffic was 70 kilometers. It could have been maybe 20 or 30.
Taking you back or forward in time to Auschwitz, could I ask you about... You
it's
said
not
you...
Wrong.
Yes.
Is it?
You were in Birkenau, is that right? Could you describe what Birkenau was?
A huge camp. With bungalows. Because there was no floor. Why do I say that? Because when at the very end we were moved to Auschwitz proper. That's where you come. And those were buried. I see one floor or even two floors. Stairs. First time in the year now when you stairs. That was the military before the war, the Polish military were there. Koszary, how do you say in English Koszary? The place where the soldiers live.
Barracks.
Barracks. Yeah. Mm-hmm. At the houses with stairs, which was something new for us. Coming back to Birkenau, yes? Well, you come in we were on the block. Why do I have an Atlas 600? How can you? They were huge. And there were about six people on one Brita, I don't know it. Yeah. Three floor where you slept.
Bunkers.
There was straw in a sack where you slept, sack where the sack material that it lay on top of the straw, and we were on that. We never undressed. Well, we couldn't lie naked. All we had was a slip and a dress. That dress was about 5 sizes too big for me, and I was never a small girl. Yeah, there must have been a huge woman. Black woolen dress with long sleeves, and it was extremely hot. It was August. Extremely hot. We did not get a scarf to wear on your head. You were shaven. And the sun, you know, having long hair, very long hair, long shaven. You were not allowed to have a scarf, you were not allowed to have shoes in Vietnam. And in the first 6 weeks, we were, I think, 600 on the block, but half were Dutch women, and we came later. The Dutch were about, I don't know, a week before us. Huge women, healthy women, and In about 2 months, there was not one left. They died. Which was a mystery, really, because they were... I can understand the Greek girls were dying like flies because of different climate. Auschwitz was built, there were swamps there before. There was sand outside the block. We were not working in the beginning, just sitting in the sand. After a while, I don't know, after 2 weeks, 3 weeks, lives, we had millions of them. I remember those two fingernails were red, like they red nail varnish, I said, from killing them. Later on, I just gave up. And then when you looked at the sand, if the sand moved, you knew those are lies, because they're the same color. Later on, I was told that the one with the little red cross on them, I've never seen the red cross, those are the typhus lice. Well, we were just sitting in the sand, in the sun, blazing. We were not allowed to be on the block. Can't remember what time we used to go in. Was it 6 or was it 7 inside? And then I think we were out about, it was still dark in the summer, so it must have been 3 o'clock in the morning. It was still dark. And the appel lasted for hours. And for hours. Then the sun came out and you had to stand. But I was still strong and I was standing. Later on, I remember I used to faint. And it was lovely when I fainted. I felt so well when I fainted. But they always woke me up, they beat me, my friends, because if they would see me fainted, they would take me away straight away. So later on, I remember I was holding my hands. I found if I hold my hands on the back of the girl that was in front of me, I could stand. It wasn't hunger. It was just standing from 3, I think, till 8, or till 7. Standing, you're not allowed to sit down, you're not allowed to move at all. So I was holding my hands, I remember, on the girl in front of me. And a minute I slid and fell, and then they beat me up, and I used to get up again. So the appel was terrible, really terrible. And they were counting a million times, because if anybody is missing, where missing, she could only be either in the toilet. Heavy diarrhea. I had dysentery, but later on in Ravensbrück. That was in Ravensbrück. What else? And then after that, there were different commandos to go to. I was working as a Nähstube, sewing, which was terrific because, as a matter of fact, I still like sewing. I love sewing.
What were you sewing?
Not uniforms. Must have been maybe dresses, you know, that we collected and to repair them. And they were used, if they were old, we repaired them, but they were for us, not to send to Germany. To Germany, the new things were sent, those new Zugangs. Zugang means the group of people that came was a Zugang. Their things, was from France, from Belgium, they used to bring suitcases. I mean, not every country had something, yes, which was typical for them. The Hungarians brought goose fat, you say, schmaltz, goose fat, in huge stone barrels. And palaisen, all of them had palaisen. You should know what the Jew and his praying has that shawl, that big shawl, which is usually white or off-white. If it's a woolen one, it's off-white. This was black stripes. All the blockers, that's the one that was the chief of the block. They were prisoners, mostly from Slovakia, because they were the first prisoners. They were already in the camp 1 or 2 years. Some of them were terrible, but on the other hand, that was their Kinderstube. They came, some of them came there, they were 12. And then they were 15 and they were Blockältesten. But the Kinderstube they had, they behaved accordingly. So that was Hungarian. French women had beautiful, beautiful underwear they had. Really beautiful, in the suitcases. But in the end, when they were naked and they went to the shower, those were those that are alive, the young people, they would hold something in their hand. You would see the diamond or anything, no. Tweezers. Tweezers. And you know, you had to use the strength to open it, because if they would touch them after the shower with something in their hand, it would be our fault, because we had to flick them to see that they are completely naked, that they don't have anything in their hand. Some of them had diamonds, but in the, you know where. And one was running, I remember, and a string was still in the back, and the German saw it, so he just got hold of the string, pulled it out, and there was a hole in the back with diamonds.
Where was that hidden? Where had she hidden
it? In the left. Well, that was much later when I worked there. I was still on it, and I worked for, you know, I was repairing clothes. The work wasn't hard. It was all right. It was all right. How would it be all right? Still barefoot. Me, I could walk on a carpet. Still, hate walking on a carpet barefoot. That's, I don't know why. And then, yes, and the, well, as I told you, my sister-in-law looked after me. She also worked there. And then one day, when was it? Like in August, September, October, the third month. You know, usually there are people who are only 6 weeks there. After 6 weeks, we did get some shoes, but they never fitted. I got a pair of galoshes. You know that galoshes? You don't wear them in England. But Laura, my sister-in-law, got sick, and they took her to the Revere. Revere means hospital. I think she was the first one of us all that got typhus. So that was 3 days later, I got it. And I went there, and I remember I was still conscious, because I asked, where is Laura? with my sister-in-law. She said, well, she dies this morning. It's the same morning after me. How long I was there, I can't remember, but I remember a few things. There was no medicine. You were terribly thirsty. So I did my, we, and this, the bowl that we used to get soup in, and I drank it. And I think that was the medicine. They say now that there are some things in the urine which has got some. I drank it. And I realized I'm drinking that. And those that had typhoid fever used to get a piece of white bread. I couldn't look at the bread. It was, I remember it, I'm looking here because it was lying where my feet were. And once, also a girl that was looking after me, she was a Slovak girl, but a wonderful girl. They said that she was, she told me herself, she was Mizrahi. How did she get to know that my father was German or Mizrahi? I have no idea. She couldn't have had a list from Slovakia of people from Poland. Impossible. I don't know how. Whenever I asked her, she said, oh, well, I knew. She never told me how. Maybe from the papers, my father had some papers on him. They had some, you know, the Germans, everything had to be in order. Maybe from, and she worked in the Schreibstube. She was a secretary. She was my guardian angel, definitely. Definitely, that girl was my guardian angel. Because, I'll tell you later how I did get into Canada and to work there. We are still in Birkenau, I'm still working in the Neustube, but we do have shoes. I can't remember if we had a scarf. Yes, we did. We did get a scarf. Maybe also after 6 weeks. Now I tell you how I got my period. I was on the Lagerstrasse, on the main road. I was sent for something. On the poles, electric poles, men were working, also prisoners. In front of me, not far, was walking a Blotterbester. And they were dressed beautifully. They got the dresses straight from those people that came. They had to be dressed nicely. And she really looked nice. And those men on those, how do you call them? The electricity.
The telegraph poles.
Yeah. They were on top there. They started whistling after her. And I remember I just laughed a little bit. And then I thought, why don't they even look at me? Why don't they even look at me? And then I passed. Not a whistle, not a word, nothing. And why was I annoyed about it? It was pleasant, that annoyance. It was somehow human. It was normal. And I came to my block. I had the third one on top.
The bunk.
The bunk. At the top bunk, there was a little window there underneath the roof. And you could see, I could see my face. I looked horrible. No hair. Mind you, I had about an inch. Like a hedgehog. Just standing. I put my scarf on. And I took a little bit of hair in front out, and I pulled out a string from those that sacking that was on top of the straw, and I made a belt on that dress that was about 5 sizes too big, and it looked a bit better. And I came down, and some of the girls said, "Hello, you look so nice." That was waking up with me, something, you look so nice. That evening I got my period. That was the jealousy that they whistled after that woman that looked beautiful, and they didn't even look at me. Never mind the whistle, they didn't even look at me. Like I would be just a stone. And that night I got my period. It wasn't easy. I didn't have a slip anymore to tear pieces, but I did.
And what's happening?
They must have been after 3 months being in Birkenau. because I had already those galoshes, and I had the scarf, but I didn't wear it then. But really, when I wanted to look better, I put on the scarf, put a bit of that hair in front here, so that showed that I had got hair. Anyway, that is a stupid thing to say. It's more interesting for a doctor. I don't think I'd ever told my doctor about it.
Yes, it indicates
emotion, the jealousy, and the will to look like a woman, to look prettier, to look like a woman. Why didn't they whistle when they saw me? Well, when I looked at myself in that glass, I could see why. But I wanted them to whistle.
Yes, the importance of feeling good.
I think about it a lot. That was a stupid thing that happened to me. It's nothing important. But I don't know. It has changed. It has changed me. For instance, at 7 o'clock was Sperrstund then. You were not allowed to go out of the block. And the Stummelkester, or the Blockelkester, asked me to stand in the door with a rod that was a broom, to hold it
horizontal.
Horizontal, not to let anybody out. Now facing the block and holding the back. But there were a lot of people from my town that knew me, and they started shouting, "Look at that, Ufaitsuna," that was my main name. They didn't know me as Liechtenstein, because I married through the war, not many people knew that I was married. People from my town, not my friends, people from my town, they knew me. They said, "Look, Ufaitsuna was a stick in her hand. Are you going to use it?" And I just couldn't stand it, so I turned. I was facing the outside and holding still the stick. But I heard it all. They still were talking about me. Took the stick, threw it on the floor. I said, "I can't do it." I didn't hurt anybody, but just it wasn't for me. But they called out to fight soon. I was a stick in their hand. I threw it, and then my career was finished, because maybe if I would have behaved, maybe I would have been a Stummelkester, maybe I would be able to sweep the barracks so I don't have to go out to work. But I just couldn't stand it. Not when they were calling my maiden name, my father's name.
Yes, that must have been quite a choice for you, Helen. Because you could have made...
Think about it, right?
You could have made...
Think they are calling you, are you going to use the stick? No.
Yes. It's a challenge, really, isn't it? It's a challenge to you.
It was, but there was I knew I have to solve it. I knew I was going to solve it. I turned, I thought that will help if I won't see the faces, but it didn't help. They were still shouting that I'm holding a stick. Will you use it? I wasn't allowed to use it as a just anything. I was the Stummelkester, I was the Blockelkester, I was nothing. But that was also a point of coming there, that I'm still a human being.
Yes, otherwise you would have appeared a collaborator.
Exactly. That's what I think. There's a stick and hit somebody. It was a broom. No,
yes.
Was my career was finished in that respect.
Well, what were they like, the people who were guarding you and organizing you? These women.
My broker, Tessa, was a Slovak, Susie Hemme Slovak. She was, look, if I tell you that when we were sent out from Auschwitz, when we marched, and some part of the march finished in Bergen-Belsen, She was there, and they feared her. I always said, if I would be there, because it's enough if you save one life. We have got a saying, I see it in the Bible. If you save one life, you earned already something in God's eyes. I would have done anything, that she wouldn't be killed. She hungered. Because she saved my life a few times. Once, you know, it was a selection. We are all.